to him. O Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living within sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Amen. Just make me a sanctuary. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelations 2 where we've been. We'll get down to verse 18. The fourth church age. We got an email back there from Brother Ron Spencer and said he was doing good. Everything was working good and all, but he was still, you know, kind of weak and everything, and still got a lot of problems, but everything was working good and it was looking real good. So just remember that. Also remember now the third Saturday, not this coming Saturday, but the next one, will be the fellowship meeting over at Brother Paget's. So we'll be leaving somewhere around 10:30, say 10 o'clock because of the Apple Festival, you know, it'll be this time. And we'll be leaving Wade's about 10 o'clock. If you want to go with us, let us know, and we'll be glad to have a help you, you know, to get there and everything. So, you know. Yeah, Brother Ernie Villanueva will be doing the meeting, and then he'll be coming here on the 24th, I think it is, to preach for us on Wednesday night. Revelations 2. Father, we thank you. We love you. We cherish your presence with us, Father, and that's the one thing we desire more than anything. And we know that if we honor you and honor your word, then your presence will be among us. So just come now and have your way with us and forgive us when we fail you, because we know that's what we are. We're failures, Lord. But yet we know through the blood of the atonement that we are pure and white and clean in you. And just guide us now. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts. Guide each one. Thank you for being with Brother Spencer there, Lord, and bringing him along, and these other brothers and all. We pray that you would just keep on letting your light shine, Lord, by healing and guiding each and every one. Guide us now and keep us. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 2. Try to get on the right one this time. Sunday we was reading out of both church ages, but I was looking down and just seeing where it said Son of God, and I had that thought on my mind and just went right on over into the fourth age. But we'll get it tonight. Revelations 2:18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I give her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins of the and heart. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So you may be seated. The Lord at his blessing to the reading of the word. Now remember, what we've been doing is we've been basically taking the salutation or greeting that is given to the church age, you know, and then watching how that is related, you know, to actually the, you know, the supreme deity is given to each age of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Then it that will relate exactly to the reward to the overcomer. That's the point I've been trying to get you to see, that he starts off with a salutation, you know, to each one, and then winds up talking about the overcomer and what the reward gets. So if you'll watch your revelation, you'll see what the reward is. All right? Now, as I said, we'll get to it in just a minute on the Son of God. But I asked you a question here a while back, and that's what's on my mind. I asked you a question. I said, what's the difference between a revelation and a manifestation? You remember that? I asked the question. What's the difference between a revelation and a manifestation? See? Because each church age got a revelation, right? Each church age got a revelation. It was not the fullness of the revelation, because that was waiting until this age. So each age inherits what the other ages have. You know, remember that now, and it's coming down, see. But we inherit all things. Revelation 22, I think it's 7. See, we receive all things, because it keeps coming down, building up. See, and each church age had a message to that age specifically. But remember, that has to do with you. It's not just reading that church age to see, you know, like we read in the previous message of the hidden manna. Well, see, that's to everyone. That's to everyone. Each church age messenger would get a new name. But each born-again believer gets a new name. We're Christians. See? All right? The revelation of the deity then to each age, it keeps mounting up. Because this is the same as we took the message of the sevenfold glory of his person. All right? And see, then looking at it, what's the difference between a revelation and a manifestation? All right? Now think about that for a minute. Do you say, I want a manifestation? Well, that's praise God. We all do. That's wonderful. But you first must have a revelation. You don't get the manifestation first, you know. You first must have a revelation, and then you can receive a manifestation. All right. But now, Abraham had a revelation that he was going to have a child. He didn't know at the beginning it would be through Sarah. That was added later and given unto him. You know. All right, because it was progressive. But Abraham, we've heard the prophet say it over and over, but has it really dawned on us? He said, Abraham could see the child. But nobody else couldn't see it. All right. So now what's the difference between a revelation of something and a manifestation? See, that's like I said, we want a manifestation, don't we? Fine, amen. You're sick, you need healing. Amen. We need a manifestation, that's good. But when it's revealed to you, it's already finished. That's where we're missing it at. If it's truly revealed now, not just head knowledge, the biggest portion of the message the prophet said, the biggest portion of our revelation, he said, is mental. Right? Head knowledge. All right? See, but what's revealed to us, we can walk on. Right? So now watch, each church age gets a revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ. And then as it does, then the reward to the age, see, brings it into a manifestation. Because that's what I was showing you there in one of the services back a few weeks ago. See, these ages down through might not have received the full revelation of what the messenger of the age, it was written unto him. Maybe the messenger didn't even get it. When we get on over about Luther and read that, we'll see that maybe Luther didn't get the revelation of that really perfect. And the reward is to each age. They didn't get that in its fullness, but they got what they were to have for the time. But one day they'll receive. You remember that? One day in glory, the prophet, I gave you a quote back then, said, where the prophet said, where it be an eternal partaking of the revelation. And then gave you another one where he said that God would give us his message of cheer down through the endless ages after we get into glory. It's not going to be over with here. So when we go get to glory, we can take, and the people of this age can go back and teach the reason I say it that way, see, teach it. Because you can go back and show them what they had was perfect for their time, but not perfect in comparison to the finality. But now here's the point I tried to get across in that, remember. But we get our reward, which is all of the Word, all of the things. We get a body change, right? Is that not what we're looking for? A body change. All right? By getting a body change, we get our reward here. We don't have to wait somewhere else and the Lord tell us about this. Sure, there'll be plenty we don't get. And He can tell us. Because you can't exhaust an eternal Word. How could you? But you see, that revelation to you means more to you than you could ever think of. See, it's natural that we're human. We want something to be made manifest. But when it's revealed to you, it's already to you. Hebrews 11 says what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right? Now, another scripture says that Paul, I believe was one writing it, said that Abraham counted those things that were not as though they were. Those things that were not, now, as though they were. Now, what's he saying? See, Abraham had the substance of the baby because he had the revelation. But he couldn't show it to anybody else. You got a revelation of your healing. You got a revelation of your salvation. You got a revelation of one God. You got a revelation of this end time message. You got a revelation of those things. And when you do, you have the substance of the gospel. Alright? And see, having the substance, what's the difference between the substance of a revelation and the substance of manifestation? What's the difference in it? The only difference I know is Abraham couldn't show Sarah the baby. Right? She couldn't see it. She wanted him to take Hagar and to do all these things. She couldn't see it. But one day, Abraham could take the child and lay it back into the arms of Sarah and said, now there is the substance that I saw by faith. So when something's revealed to you, don't worry about it. And that's the way it was. It's what I'm trying to get you to see about the ages. When they got a revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ of that age, automatically there's a reward. You don't have to wait. It's automatic. Each age got a revelation of the deity. Each age got a reward for what it was at that time, but then one day they'll get a reality of it, because one day they'll have the reality of a revelation in its completeness. But you see what I'm talking about? What's the difference in a revelation and a manifestation? You say, well, we need manifestation, Brother Dale. No, we need a revelation. The manifestation will come. That's what the prophet said. He said, you need a revelation more than anything in the world. You need faith. A revelation. All right? So then take that to each age now. And take the thing that we've studied there on it, that each age inherits what the ones preceding the prophet said. I gave you the quote. So the second church age received a revelation of Jesus Christ, but in eternity, they may have to wait in eternity to understand what Paul understood. But one day they'll get it. But you and I don't have to wait. We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait to have the hidden manna. We don't have to wait to know He's the first and the last. We don't have to wait for any reward. We have our reward. We have it now because we have the revelation. The revelation, if one age got a revelation and another age got a revelation, what are you doing? You're not adding revelation. You're adding more together of the mechanics of the gospel. Then God, when once it's in the right place, God can bring the dynamics. But if we don't have it in the right place, what good does it do to have the dynamics if we don't have the mechanics in the right order? You see what I'm talking about on a revelation then? See, can anybody take away, and you see then that most people of the message have an intellectual conception because they're going from one church to another. They're leaving here, going there. They're up and down, traveling around. And I'm not throwing it to anybody that's come here. I preach. I'm just trying to make a point. I'm trying to get you to see something. Because people are traveling about today searching for the food. Starving to death, wanting the food of the Word. And they're getting caught by all kind of doctrines. Well, how can you have a revelation of one God and get caught up in some of these doctrines that they've got about the Godhead? It goes to show you don't have a revelation. Of course, everybody on the other side says the same thing about us. But don't worry about it. Because you see, this age gets a reward. This age is going to get a body change. And there ain't going to be no arguing with nobody when we go up in the air. There ain't going to be nobody standing around saying, I tried to tell you the truth and you wouldn't listen to me. You walk off the earth, it won't be somebody trying to tell you. Because it'll already be a manifestation. All right, now, so what we're talking about. See? Each age gets the revelation. And each age gets then the reward. A reward comes to each age. All right. So what was the message now that we read in verse 18? The first thing it says is what? Who is this talking? These things saith the Son of God. These things saith the Son of God. Now, who is this Son of God? Like I said, you say, well when's the first time that you could think of the Son of God? People say 2,000 years ago. No. The Son of God was the Logos, the Word, the speech that went out of God in the beginning. That was the Son of God. Before He came down into flesh. Alright? So then watch what your prophet had to say now. It's 220, Tyrant's, or the Church Age book, page 220. Number one on your notes. Revelation 2:18, these things saith the Son of God, who hath His eyes like a flame of fire, and His feet as fine brass. The revelation of Godhead to the Tyrant age is that Jesus is the Son of God. Now listen to this statement now that he's making. Be real careful. Once in the days of his flesh, He was known as the Son of Man. But henceforth, we know him no more after the flesh. What's that? He is no longer the Son of Man, the great prophet, who in himself gathered together all prophecies. The only begotten is back in the bosom of the Father. Now we know him after the power of the resurrection. He is risen and has taken upon unto himself his mighty power, and is above all and over all to the praise of his own glory. His glory he will not share with another. His leadership over the church he will not surrender to any man. Now listen. We know him no more after the flesh. See? That doesn't do away with the revelation in the end time that he's to be the Son of Man. Again, back in his church. That establishes it. It establishes it right here. See, the Son of Man in the end time is not known by the flesh. That's where people went wrong. Anytime you say Son of Man in reference to the end time, who does 99% of the people refer to? Brother Branham. Right? See, that's going after the flesh. He was not the Son of Man. Brother Branham was a Son of Man. The Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see why they went into the deity parts and things. Alright? But now watch. The Son of Man in the end time is not known by the flesh, but by the Word being made flesh. That's what the Son of Man was. The Son of Man was the Word made flesh. The Son of Man was what Peter called when he said in Matthew there, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Word, the Creator, in human flesh, called the Son of Man. But inside of that flesh was who? The Son of God. Or God Himself. When you say Son of God, the way I say it, now the way of what I mean by it, when I say Son of God, I don't mean a second person. I don't mean God's one person and you another one. A child of God is a son of God, right? Alright? Now if you're a son of God, what does that make you? That makes you God manifested in flesh. See? Called a son. Alright? Which is the Word. Because who is the Son? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. See, the Son of Man is referring to the prophetic ministry. And see, that's why that when Jesus was here, He didn't acclaim to be the Son of God. He didn't have to. Now listen to what I'm saying. He did acclaim Jesus. Jesus did acclaim the Father to be His Father, didn't He? Come on, didn't He acclaim God to be His own Father? But see, He was not fulfilling Son of God office. He was fulfilling Son of Man office. So He was referring to Himself as Son of Man. But yet it was the Son of God in that flesh. Because it was His soul was the very soul of God. Not the soul of a man, as they're teaching about this River Jordan and stuff. Then he was just a man until the River Jordan, and then he become anointed and become God. No, the Bible said he was born Lord to Christ. Peter didn't have any trouble calling him to Christ, the Son of the living God. The Bible didn't have any trouble saying, unto you this day is in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Didn't have any trouble with that. Why? Because it was speaking by revelation. That was many years before a manifestation was made, right? When Isaiah spoke it back there about a child is born, you know, a son is given, it was a revelation to Isaiah. Right? But it wasn't a manifestation until hundreds of years later. Alright? But see, then there he was, because the prophet said he comes in three sons' names. Son of man, son of God, son of David. Alright? Now, it's the same God all the time. It's not three gods. There's three different manifestations there of how he's making himself known. Because I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a grandfather, I'm a pastor, you know, former General Motors employee, got many, many manifestations, but there's only one person of me. Alright? That's the way the Godhead is. Alright? See, but the Son of God is the Word. That's the Word that went out of God in the beginning, the Logos, the speech, the theophany, the big words that we've learned to talk about. When we used to, couldn't even spell them. I was listening to Brother Branham. It's in, I'll think of it in a minute, but I believe it's Hebrews. But anyhow, you get tickled if you listen to him pronounce theophany. The first time he pronounced it in there, he called it a theophany. And he says that about twice. Because he's like us. He's human. Something finally struck. Maybe somebody behind him or somebody says theophany. You know. Or maybe the Lord said finally, because, you know, to get him straight. So he finally says theophany. I'm not making light of him. I'm telling you that we are speaking words that we, even the scholars, don't fully understand what it's all about. But yet we can see it by revelation. Alright? See, because Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David is God revealing Himself to mankind. It's Him making Himself known to me and you through the opening of the Word. So He's the Son of God. See? The manifestation of God in human flesh as he was walking here then, would be called Son of Man. And even go back over when the Hebrew children were cast into the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar looked down in there and he said, we cast three in, said there's four in, said the one we see is like the Son of God. Because he knew, I mean to me, as heathen as he could be, he'd realize that it killed all them men to throw them in. And realize, looked like he'd killed them three, and he sees them walking around, and the fourth one's down there. It wouldn't take a revelation to figure that out, you know what? I mean, anybody with one-eyed and high sense, as Brother Don Ruddle said, used to say, ought to be able to figure out that fourth man must be God. You know. So he called him the Son of God. Alright? But now listen. See, manifestations of who we are. Now follow this real close. And when I was born as a child, I had within me the attributes of being a father. Let that coast a little. When Jesus Christ was born, he was Almighty God in human flesh. But now, he couldn't die for you when he was a baby laying in a cradle. That was not the time for the manifestation. He could not die for you as a Savior when he was 12, 13 years old, when he was arguing with the doctors and the things there in the temple. It wasn't time for the manifestation. When he was 30 years old, he come into a ministry. But he had to still wait for 3 years of great temptation to come to the place that he could fulfill the office of being a Savior and dying on a tree. So then, should it be any problem for me to say, in me when I was born was the ability to be a father, but I couldn't make that manifest? It took 18 years, and finally, I still couldn't do that. And I'm trying to get you to see the Godhead and the one God and the Son of God and what it's saying. See, even at 18 years of age, I couldn't produce a child. Because why? Because I didn't have a wife. See, it took a wife to make me a father. Now, we're not talking about perversion and what you could do with this and that and the other. You get the garbage out of your mind because that's what the trouble is. The garbage in your mind is trying to say different things to you instead of what listening to what I'm saying. It took a wife to bring it into being, just like Adam in the garden. Adam in the garden had everything that was needed, but he couldn't do anything without Eve, and she's the one that messed it up before she got in the right place to bring forth. He was waiting on her to come to the place. Then it would have been a producing of all things. But instead of that, she perverted it. That's why the prophet said the church couldn't wait. I say it about the people of the message. They can't wait for somebody to be able to put the word together to where that it'll fit together and produce a revelation right straight from God's word that God can make a manifestation. Instead of that, they pervert it with their own ideas and lies and thoughts. And see, it won't produce. All right. See, he on earth was called the Son of Man. All right. One day in the millennium, he will be the Son of David. Why? Because he was the Son of God. He wasn't Son of Man first. He wasn't Son of David first. He was Son of God first. All right, if you and I are going to walk out of here, we better get it in the right line. We better get into the Son of God and realize who we are. Then we can talk about an end time with the Son of Man. See? But look what he says on Gabriel's instructions, number 2 on your notes. Read that other one in between that I gave you, the church age. Because a lot of this I give to you just for you to read. And he says that on that basis that they bestowed their things up on another person. And when they did, they wound up with seeing Apollo revered as the Son of God. See? Instead of it being in the right order. Alright? The Roman Catholic Church took that and turned around and messed up on what we would call the Son of God. Because they brought it to a man. Now, where do we get that in a minute? They brought it to a man. We were talking about this down in the Bible study. Or I guess it was here just the other day or something. Anyhow, no, I was talking with somebody else about it. About how that it comes into being. And see, he had to be the Son of Man to fulfill the office of the Son of Man. To where that flesh could die, right? But that Son of God could be released to come back in you. All right. See, then watch what takes place. Gabriel's instructions to Daniel, 1961, 7:30 in the morning. Jesus in the gospel had 4 titles. Now, he's not wrong when he said 4. And you say, but yet he said 3. Just hold on a minute. Jesus in the gospel had 4 titles. We brought that. Son of David, heir to the throne. Son of Abraham, the royal grant. Because ours is 4 sons, right? Son of Man, heir of the earth. Son of God, heir of all things, the royal grant. Right? Look down in Uncertain Sound, 1960, 1218, paragraph 34. Man in the beginning, when he was made, a man is a God. He's absolutely a God, for he was made in the image of God, being a son of God, and then he's an heir of all that God is. And man was given a domain, and the domain was the earth. So you have power over the fishes, over the thing. But see, he was the Son of God, heir of all things. Right? He was the Son of God, heir of all things. He fulfilled an office one day of Son of Man. That would make him heir of the earth. Sure, he's the son of Abraham, the royal grant. One day he'll be the son of David. But see, it's all the same one Son of God, made manifest in many different forms. See? It was a revelation of him while he was in the Old Testament, coming down. It was being revealed what he was going to do. But it took the New Testament to bring him into flesh, a manifestation. But he was God all the time. What's the difference to manifest a revelation to manifestation then? He was God all the time. He's been God all the time, just because now that he's coming forth as Son of Man doesn't do away with Son of God. That's what I told you in 1984. Everybody was preaching Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man. All around the message they was preaching Son of Man, Son of Man. But I said, if you don't understand the Son of God, how can you understand the Son of Man? If you can't see one and true and living God, you can't understand the Son of Man. You're only quoting what somebody else says. See? Just a head knowledge. All right? But we are the sons of God, heir of all things. That's why we can go into the millennium with him. He will be to Israel the son of David. But he won't be the son of David to you and I. We see him now as Son of David. We see him now as Son of Man. We see him as Son of God. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. See, we're already inheriting it. We're getting our inheritance now, which is a revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ. All we'll get when we go there will just be manifestation. The substance will become a reality, but it's already a substance by revelation. See, when God reveals to you something, that's the substance according to Hebrews 11:1. Because substance, what anything consists of, whether natural or spiritual. When you go back there to Daniel and you start talking to him about what they're working with, he's working with canisters and things and all. I don't understand all of it, and I don't worry about it. But I know this much. He's looking inside of things that you can't see with your eyes, right? But you better not open it up, put your hand in there. Right? You better leave it alone and leave it where it's captivated, or what you call it, captured. Because if you put your hand in there, you're going to be destroyed. Because it's the wrong time. But one day, that will have nothing to do with you. Because what they're doing is just making into manifestation today what will take us into glory. The same atoms that they split and all. What are you? Show me an atom. Hold within my hand enough to blow the world of it. Right? But I can't make that manifest. Right? Yet it's there. But through a process, science can take that that's within the grips of my fingers, which you don't see nothing and I can't. But they can take that and blow a world up with it. Why? Because they bring it into a manifestation. So the things that are seen are greater than the things that are not seen. Excuse me, let's turn it around. Things that are not seen are greater than things that are seen. Let me turn that backwards. But you see what I'm talking about? See, we want a manifestation. No, I want a revelation. Then God can make it a manifestation. The word that you're walking in today, one day you'll walk on into glory. Einstein said that in the fourth dimension that you could pass a one object through another one so fast you wouldn't even leave a hole. You know that Brother Branham said Jesus come back so fast, come right through the wall. Look it up and see if he didn't. He said he come back so fast. Brother Richard Wilson used that quote a good bit. Said he went up and come back so fast, he just right through the walls. There was no limit to the amount of speed that he could go. Because he wasn't concerned with these human things. All right, listen, I'm not a scientist. I'm sure you know that, I ain't much of nothing. But there's one thing about it, I believe the Word. And I believe we're walking in what will take us into glory. When I saw that spaceship years ago in a dream or whatever the Lord showed me, I knew that was what was going to pick us up. Because I knew the prophet said, them Sputniks one day will come down and pick you up. But it ain't no metal objects going to pick us up. It ain't us going to go get into some kind of ship and sail off to glory. No. But the Word is now building you the ability. Because if you went up through space, if you could be shot up through space right now, your body couldn't stand the pressure. That's why they have to pressurize and do all kind of things, right? But see, one day it'll be able to do, because it'll all be changed. All be taken care of. Let's move on. Listen. We are the sons of God. All right? Then as the Son of God, it says, and this one's talking, these things saith the Son of God, the one that was talking to John to bring it, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. His eyes was like a flame of fire, his feet was like fine brass. Right. Now you just read a few of these. As you're coming down, let's just read number 4. Thyatira Church Age, or 1960, 1208, which is paragraph 44 of the Thyatira Church Age, the book now itself. And we find out that he had eyes like flames of fire. That eyes then like flames of fire. Once them eyes were dim with human tears. It could stand and weep over a man dying, and knowing in the next 5 minutes he was going to live again, but just human sympathy. But behind that was such power, he could look right through a man's life and tell him who he was and all about it. Because it was coming now in this reflection as fire. Eyes can look to and fro, and you remember that in Ezekiel and all, through the earth and see everything that's going on. Where will you stand in the day of judgment? Your sins will be naked before you. You notice he had out of his mouth a sharp two-edged sword. Now that's backing up to the other ages, right? Which we found was the Word. We see his feet was fine brass and so forth, which meant his foundation. He thread the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God and tramped down and took sin upon him and waited out and pleased God. That's right. And his foundation is our foundation. Feet like fine brass. You can't temper, or is that the way it is? Temper brass or whatever it is. It's just the hardest you can get. You can't do anything with it. See? And that's our foundation. Now wait till we get on over a couple of ages where he talks about he'll make you a pillar in the temple of God. And you'll find out that you're right in the stones of the temple. What is our foundation? Feet like fine brass, like Wade was bringing out, I told you. He was bringing out to the Sunday school. All of this sevenfold glory, six of the sevenfold glories is parts of the body. Eyes, feet, hair. See? All of those things, they are parts of the body. The seventh is a total illumination or a revelation of the entire person. But where's he at? He's in bride form. Standing here in bride form. All right. But now watch number five. This was very interesting to me. The reason it was interesting is because of the way that I think. I believe it was Brother Gary and I were talking about it. You know, demons, they fight each other. We think, you know, all devils is just under God, all demons are just under the devil. And they're all just, you know, I was in the Bible study. We were talking about it with Brother Tom. Some of you worked at General Motors know for sure what I'm fixing to say is right. You see a man, he'll work on the line a while, but you see him, he wants to raise up above everybody else. So he goes and puts in for supervision. He gets a job in supervision. Now I'm trying to illustrate something, so don't just relax on me and forget what I'm saying. So after a while, he's dissatisfied with just being a foreman. He wants to be a general foreman. And he keeps going up the line. He becomes superintendent. Then he becomes night shift manager or something. Then he becomes plant manager. Now all of that are different demons. He said, well, Brother Dale, I've done it. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about demons. All right? And you say, well, I went up the, yeah. And how did you go up the ranks? If you shot down somebody above you to try to climb a rank into your position where you are in a job, you got a problem. That's the way I'll put it, okay? You got a problem because you shot somebody else down. You was a bigger demon than the other was. Because demons are not all just the same. You see them in all kind of forms. And they're all trying to satisfy the devil. The big demon, you know. And as they're doing that, they get into mankind. And as they started out in the church ages, it began as just a little saying. Paul talks about bishops. Right? But see, that's what man wanted to be. That's what the preachers of this message wants to be. They want to be bishops. What group are you in? Who do you follow? You know. They're demons. Jockeying for position. All right? Now, trying to overlord others. And that's what was the mess up down in the ages. Because once they made bishops, you need leadership. You need that. Paul brought bishops into being. Told you their qualifications. But it wasn't long. The qualifications began to diminish. And they started making bishops out of just anything. And you know that's true. You know that even back there in the Old Testament, some of them priests wasn't worth killing. Because they caused Israel to sin. But you see, those were demons. All right. Here before long you had bishops. Then you moved on and you had false prophets. All from that Antichrist spirit as it began to move among the people. Now if God can show us that we are got to be with those eyes, which are the seeing, the prophetic, line up in the Word and have our foundation correctly, of fine brass, then we won't fall for them things. First message I preached right here in 1971 was going beyond man's camp. Because that's what everybody was trying to do, was make some kind of a camp, some kind of a group, some kind of a people. Going beyond man's camp. Trying to be lords of over people instead of gospel preachers. But listen, look what your prophet said took place. Look at number 5 on your notes, which is page 220 of the Thyatira Church Age, which is Church Age book. There is one mediator between God and men. Now watch the way he says it. The man, because that's scripture now. There is one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus, the Son of God. 1 Timothy 2 and 5. But the Pope of Rome has changed the word. He made it one mediator between God and man. Not men. All right. Now get what he's saying. See, the Bible says there's one mediator between God and men. The Pope says there's one mediator between God and man. Look what he's saying. But the Pope has changed the word. He made it one mediator between God and man, not men. So now he mediates between the mediator and men. Read that over and over until you get it. Now the Pope mediates between the mediator and men. Because he's between God, watch what he's saying, see? He made it one mediator between God and man. Not men. So now he mediates between the mediator and men. What started out in the first seal as an antichrist became a false prophet. Then it became an incarnate false prophet. And that's where he's at right now. Because he's not the beast yet. He can't do that until we get out of here. He's incarnate false prophet, which means he's the mediator between you and God, is what he's saying. The Pope says he's between you and God. And if you get anything, you'll come by him. How close does that fit to the people of the message? Don't they teach if you're not in our group, you're not going to make it? If you're not of our little clan. Like I talked to a man at my house one time, I've told you before. And I said, why did the two brothers that I called their name, I said, why did they split the message years ago? This was back in the 70s, or about 70-something, I guess. Two brothers, I won't call their name on tape, but they split the message over a doctrine. I'll say it this way. One of them was teaching two lords. And the other one was teaching a female Holy Ghost. A lot of you are not old enough to even have heard that. But I said, what's the difference between two lords and two Holy Ghosts? He sat there and admitted and said, you're right. I said, well then, why did it split the people? Why didn't the two brothers see that? Do you know why? Two demons. You calling them brothers demons? No, I'm not calling them brothers demons. I'm calling demons demons. A lot of difference in calling a brother a demon. Didn't Jesus turn around to Peter one day and say, get behind me, Satan? Now, who was he talking to? He wasn't talking to Peter, was he? He was talking to the devil that was there using Peter at that time. Nothing wrong with the brothers. I love them. But my point of what I'm trying to get you to see is, if you can't see the Son of God, and that you are a son of God by the new birth, then you can't see that your foundation is of fine brass. And your eyes are not the eyes of God. Because your sin is not correct. And see, when it is, you're looking to the people that are trying to become mediators between the mediator and God. I am not a mediator between you and God. I'm a pastor, I'm a serpent. Sure, you can use words. The only thing I can do is try to speak to you about what God tells me. I am not your master and your Lord. You're just as much as I am. As a matter of fact, you're more because I'm your servant. A minister is a servant to the congregation, not a Lord. That's sure been changed around, hasn't it? How many of you ever been taken out for eat by this pastor? How many of you ever took me out to eat? A few of you. A lot of you have. See, I'm no different than you are. The Word is your pastor. The Word is the Son of God. Come on. The Word was the Son of God in the beginning. Back there, the Logos that went out from God, it's still the Son of God today, the Word. I'm not trying to be a mediator between you and you know, being, as it says now, He's mediator between the mediator and men. I'm not trying to be a mediator between the mediator. I'm trying to introduce you to the mediator. I'm trying to tell you about the mediator. He was the Son of the living God. He was the revealed Word. I can't get off of that, and I know I ain't going to finish this message tonight. You can see what was bearing on me Sunday afternoon, don't you? I mean, Sunday morning, reading it. I swat back and forth. Because I wanted you to see this. I wanted you to see who the Son of God is. You are the Son of God now made manifest. The new birth is a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you, right? Come on, what is the new birth? It's not just a baptism. It's not just an anointing. It's not just some feeling you have. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. What was the new birth of each age? The message to the age was the new birth of the age. Those people in Luther's day had to be delivered of a new birth from a justification message. Then when Wesley came along with sanctification, justification was no longer sufficient to produce a birth. But it took that and what Wesley taught to have the new birth in that day. Then Azusa Street came along with the baptism. You couldn't leave out justification and sanctification and claim the new birth. The prophet talks about the new birth or the message of the age. You realize you and I got to be born out of this age by the new birth? That's why in 1977 the whole church world went into total black darkness. I still want to get on to that. But listen. Going back to all the ages, out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, which was the Word. Then it was the hidden manna, which was the Word. Sharp two-edged sword, which is the Word. Hidden manna, which is the Word. Now his eyes, like flames of fire. Who? This Son of God. Where's he at? In you. See? That's what we need is a revelation more than anything. See? All right. Listen. Look at number 7, the Thyatiran church age, which is 1960, 1208. Now, in this day that this revelation came, or was to this church, it was a day that Rome had built upon the great stones of their place of hay and straw. But he's addressing this church that he still remains the flaming fires that look down through the time, and his foundation is not hay stubble, but it's a solid tried brass in the fiery furnace. The foundation is sure I love that we know where we're standing. Feet as fine brass. Hardened. Hardened brass. What is he to do then? Look at verse 27. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Now remember, what's this back up here? What's the revelation? Eyes like unto a flame of fire, and feet are like fine brass. Now we're coming to the reward part. Verse 27. We'll pick up 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my word unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. You're going to rule the world, the bride of Christ. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Why? Because that's fine brass. Even as I received of my Father. Look what your prophet said on how can I overcome. Number 8 on your notes. Next is thy Tyro. We find that the overcomer had in that day. He that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give the power over the nations. That's right. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And as a vessel of a potter shall they be broken into shivers, even as I received of my Father. See, with him in his throne, Christ is to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and here is the church that overcomes sitting in there with him to break the nations with a rod of iron. Feet's like fine brass. Now it's a rod of iron. A rod of iron. Till it comes down to where we're going to rule. Why? Because we've become the sons and daughters of a living God. Because of the Son of God coming down and releasing the life to where that you and I could become the children of God. And in doing that, we're going to be put right into the foundation. Our foundation is sure, the Bible says. Our revelation is sure. See, first it starts, now watch my point. First it starts a revelation, but as a revelation keeps unfolding, what does it gradually become? A reality. What does it become? A reality. A reality. To where that you and I can see who we are and what's taking place. Because he lives, we live. He died that we might live. But listen, I ain't got time to finish the rest of it, but I'll just put it in and then you can read the notes. Because what is the next that he says? And I will give him the morning star. I'll give him the morning star. Who is the morning star? Let me just put it this way, because it's over to the last of your notes. Do you know that the morning star and the evening star is the same star? It's just the position of the time of day. One is in the morning, the other's in the evening. I gave them to you over to the last of your notes, 14, 15, going on down to 16. The morning and the evening star is the same. He said, I'll give him the morning star. I'll give him a revelation of my deity. I'll make him the morning star. I'll bring into being the root and offspring of David, the bride and the morning star. Until the day star rises in your heart. The Spirit is therefore making a promise to the elect of the dark ages relative to himself and then in the ages to come. Dark ages, right? Fourth church age. Dark ages. Morning star. Now, why didn't he say, now let me say it to you, because you'll see why that I don't have time to read it and preach it. Why didn't he say, I'll give him the evening star? Looked pretty bad, didn't it? But just remember, they was fixing to strike a revival of the just shall live by faith. Light was fixing to come, not darkness. They were in darkness. So he said, I'll give you the morning star. The morning star is the first star you see of the morning. If Brother Don Ginn was here, he could tell us all about how that when he was in the Navy, that they could tell exactly where they were by the stars. The morning star could be found at a certain position and they knew exactly where they were. The evening star could be found at a certain place and they knew exactly where they were. Because it's the same star, it's just according to what time of day it's coming. But he didn't say the evening star, he said, I'll give him the morning star. Why? Because light was fixing to strike. It had come through a dark time of the Dark Ages. But Luther was fixing to strike with the just shall live by faith, and the morning star was going to shine forth. But he promised in this age to give him the morning star. Hold on to what you got. Because light is coming. The evening and the morning, it's all the same star. You just can't see it in the middle of the day. Why? Because it's covered up by clouds. You'd have to take my word unless you've been down that far. If you want to find out something that's really great, some of these days you get a chance to go down the well about 50 feet, go down and look up. You say, I'm not going, so that's what I said. You'll have to take my word for it. I've been down there. We used to dig our own wells. We had to get down in there and we had to dig them, and us little boys, that was the best thing because you're in a cramped position about this big around. Even nowadays they're smaller, you couldn't get in them, but we'd dig them, you know, 36 inches or 40 inches or something like that. And some dug them even bigger because it's easier to dig. You know. And you get down in there and they'd put the little kids in there and we dug in them until water come in them, then we wasn't allowed to work in the well no more. Once we struck water, we wasn't allowed. But I've been 50, 60 feet underground as a little boy with a shovel filling up a bucket, and then they pull the bucket up above my head and drag it out and throw the dirt. You know what you can do? Now, you can't do it on every day. But if the clouds are just right, the sun is away, and everything is exact, you can stand down in the bottom of that and look up, and you can see the stars. Just like you see them out there at night right now. Because it takes away your outside vision, I reckon, away from it, and you're looking up. See? We need to make sure we know where we're at. Because that star will let you know. A sailor's got to be guided. See, today they use the GPS as the same. They're still shot off the stars and off the satellites that are out there, which is what would be called a star form. But see, in the old days, they had to find them stars. Well, I never have been able to find the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, because there's two of them. Now, which one am I going to be guided by? Now, how many of you know that? You go out and look, you see the Big Dipper, and you look over in the sky, and you'll find another Big Dipper. But the North Star is the point arrow on the end, right? Is that what it is on the Big Dipper or something like that? But see, you got to know how to guide yourself. See, I don't know how to do that, so I got to depend upon my guide, which is the Word. But listen, the Morning Star was promised to this age. Because the next age preceding would inherit that. You remember that back under? Each age preceding would go forth with a revelation. The next age gets a revelation. See, the morning star. He's the morning star. But you know, there's what? There's a sky full of stars. You can't see them most of the time because once you see the morning star, daylight's done here. But in the evening time it shall be light. And when that morning star crosses the horizon and comes over, in other words, coming from the east to the west, once it strikes the west coast, as the prophet would say it, and then when it did, you got the evening star and then you can see, you know right where you're at to follow that. See, if we would only depend upon things that God has given us. I always taught my kids when we went into the to started hunting and things, I always taught them, I said, look, watch which way this branch is running, boys. You've never been in these woods. What if something happens to me? You get lost. You've never been here. Watch which way the branches are running, boys. Follow the branch back out. It's going to lead to a river. River's going to lead to a road. But then I always tell them, say this one. Which way is the sun coming up? I said, well, sun's coming up on my back. I said, well, then if you stayed in the woods all day long, you don't want the sun on your back. You better turn around, let it be on your back, put it in the other direction, and start the way you're going. Because you done got turned around. The only time I ever got turned around in the woods when the sun came up in the wrong direction. I goofed up on it. I didn't watch it. That's the only time in my life I've ever been turned around in the woods. Is when I couldn't find which way that moon, that sun was coming. See, those stars, the moon, the sun, and all, it's out there for that purpose. To guide you and I. And He promises you the morning star. The same justification that struck Martin Luther is still here today. That star is still in the sky. It's just over here in the evening time, giving forth light. Light was coming forth, and here it is. Just read the things that I gave you. I ain't got time to preach the rest of it. Just read them off, and you'll get it. Of the morning star, because that's the promise to that age. It promised them the morning star, that they'd be overcomers. That they'd walk in the light. They would see it, and those stars would guide us, those messengers, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the morning star. He's also the evening star. Huh? Let's follow them. Come on, Brother Boyd. Let's follow the light. Follow the light. If we set our feet on the foundation, we'll rule with a rod of iron. So that's a promise. And when it is, we'll come out to the manifestation. Because the morning and the evening and the morning are the same star. Just follow the light. Follow the light until you see the light at the end of the tunnel. You see Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, if you have a revelation, I said a while ago, about one God, that revelation will lead you to the completeness if you'll just follow it. Just keep following that star. It'll lead you. What have we been following all these years? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of Man is not here to lead us. You know what I'm saying? The bride becomes the Son of Man. That's right. But the Son of Man's not here in a manifestation to lead us. But He's turned us to the bright and morning star. The Word. That's what's here to lead us. The prophet said, when you begin to see the Word, you're seeing Jesus. You just think about what we know about God compared to what we used to know. Right? Compared to what we used to believe. And what He's revealed unto us. To see the revealed Word. A manifestation of Almighty God. Let's stand together. Go ahead. 3:14 in the Red Book. Amen. Because He lives. Anybody has a need? His Son. Hey. They call Him Jesus. He came to love. heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is thine to prove my Savior lives. Think about it. Because He lives, what? I can face tomorrow. I'll follow that star. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Think about it. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain day, because He lives. Does He live in your heart? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Can you? Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, do you know? He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Anybody have a need? And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's fight, the war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. Yeah, I know He lives. Think about Him. Because He lives, I can face. See, somebody done went ahead of us. If there is a morning star and the evening star is the same star, somebody has already went through the midday for us. We're in the end time. We're in the end time when all life. When it says when the towers fall. You remember that? What is Isaiah 25, somewhere right in there? When the towers fall, then the light of the sun will be seven times. The light of the moon would be as the light of the sun. The towers fell there in New York, right? And when they fell, now we're at the time when the light of the moon shall be the light as same as the sun. We're hearing the revealed word, but the light of the sun will be sevenfold. If anything you think you see doesn't exalt God, just remember, it's one of them demons trying to take control. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty bread of heaven. Just feed me on the word, Lord. Here's my cup, fill it up. One more time before we go, if anybody has a need. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Red out heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Amen. To give us so many blessings undeserved. That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? To give us so many blessings undeserved. That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? What has He done? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. Now remember, Son of God, I have all things. So what do we say? We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one. Just think about Him on the way home. Think about who He is and what He's done for you. And if you can go out there and find that evening star, just remember, you're on the other side. The darkness is over. The middle of the day is finished. Because remember, when we hit the evening time and that star comes forth, we're in Goshen. You say, but it's dark out there. Yes, but we're in Goshen. Just because the sun went down, that don't mean we're in darkness, folks. We're in the Word. We're in Goshen, where the light's at. We're behind the veil, where the manna's at. We're in the presence of the King. The morning star has become the evening star. The manifestation is in the hour of where we're living. The resurrection is here. We're in the evening time. Father, we thank You. We ask You to just go with us. We, Lord, know we didn't have time to finish what we wanted to bring, but we'll bring it later. That's all right. But we just ask You now to go with us on the way home. And let as the car wheels turn, Lord, may our thoughts be upon You, that You are the bright and morning star. You're the Alpha, the Omega, You're all in between, and You're everything. And Jesus is Your name. Just bless the people. Give everybody a safe journey. We love You. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.